Welcome to the Oh For Food's Sake podcast, where we unwrap the struggles of working in the food industry so that you can thrive in what you do best while sustaining a rewarding and fulfilling career or business. We are your hosts, Lucy Wager, food industry consultant,
and Amy Wilkinson, coach and facilitator, bringing you our expertise of starting a food brand and working in the food industry for the last 20 years. Our podcast is for you to find new ways to cope with the daily struggles, but mostly to inspire you to work on what's not working, to ultimately improve your career or business long term. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Oh For Food's Sake. Today, me and Lucy are going to be talking about people pleasing. And we have talked about this in so many ways through so many episodes that we thought it needed its own dedicated episode, because we are both have been people pleasers. I always call myself recovering people pleaser.
I think I still am one.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, Lucy and I often have conversations about this stuff. So we thought it would be really useful to share our thoughts on it and talk about what it is, people pleasing is, why people become people pleasers and what the heck you can do about it. Because I work with loads of clients and it comes up all the time. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's just the way I am. And it's like, well, okay, it is. But actually, how is it holding you back? And do you really want to be like that forever? So
yeah,
we'll share some of them.
Yeah. And it's about understanding the difference between just being a nice person and then delving into being a people pleaser,
because
I think that's the response, isn't it? Oh, it's just how I am. I like being all things to all humans, but it's what the detrimental effect that can have on you. You can still be nice and do nice things, but you don't have to be a people pleaser.
Yeah, it's the difference between just being a nice person and being somebody that, because people pleasing can, we talked, didn't we, about a few weeks ago about the busy badge of honor. It can be a little bit similar in that kind of martyrdom bit.
Yeah.
And it's actually, it can be really detrimental. And I know that it definitely links back to when I burnt out, because I was just trying to do everything, be everything, and you don't have to be.
Yeah.
So
it's like, yeah, let's start at the top. Let's talk about what it is.
Yeah. So I guess it's about trying super hard to make everybody happy around you. And so everybody thinks you're nice, thinks you're considerate and helpful.
You're the go-to person.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they'll be able to do that. Everybody thinks you're the helpful, kind person that has all the time in the world.
Yeah, because with a people pleaser, because you always say yes to everything, people kind of know that you're the default, you know, they have no clue that you're actually running yourself ragged and you're working till whatever time at night because you just want to say yes to everything. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like at work particularly, but this isn't not just at work. It definitely happens in all parts of your life. But at work, I think particularly earlier in your career, you want to say yes to everything because you want to like show willing and, you know, you want to progress, so you want to, you know, be amazing, but actually you start just taking on more and more and more stuff.
And I think when I was sort of reading up about this and finding out a bit more, I thought it was also interesting looking at the sort of personality profile of a people pleaser and the sort of characteristics they have. And they tend to alter their opinions and go with the consensus, and they change behaviors to reflect other people in the scenario that they're in currently.
Yeah.
Which then, that by doing that, you're accommodating the other people around you, but you're also making it easier to say yes to everything because you're sort of camouflaging your real feelings.
Yeah. And I can see definitely how that can turn up in, you know, it turn up in meetings, and I'm already conscious of it with all the work that I do with teams on being more assertive and getting your point across, because my default is to always look at the other person's point of view and mold myself. And that isn't necessarily the right thing. So I kind of have to check in and be like, oh no, don't always just change your opinion to be the opinion of the person in front of you. And it is, you know, if you think about it outside of work, you know, those people that they say one thing to one person, they say another thing to another person. You're like, what is your actual opinion?
Yeah. And I think that's it, because I think people, if you're intensely in this people pleasing zone, then I think you lose yourself as well. Like you forget what your own opinion is, because you get lost. You get so confused because.
Yeah. And I would call myself an empath. So really empathetic.
I was just going to say, it's very closely linked to that, isn't it?
Yeah. And so if empath, if anybody's listening is like, what does that mean? But it is a person that kind of takes on the feelings of the people and the environment around them, and like genuinely feels it within their body. And I definitely do that. Like, you know, if somebody wells up, you just start welling up yourself and you're like, what the?
That's an amazing quality.
Yeah.
But it's understanding that and using it to your benefit as well as other people's benefit.
Yeah, because the downside of that is you feel those emotions. So you get to the end of the day, and I used to feel this when I had a big team of people and they were like, coming in one by one, spilling all their problems out to me. And I was just absorbing it. And I'd get to the end of the day and I'd have a massive headache because I was just like absorbing.
Drained.
And that is part of that people pleasing thing. Like when you manage other people, you need to be able to put boundaries in place and say, you know, I can't help you with that right now, or sort of guide them and coach them, which is obviously what I've learned to do, rather than try and fix things for people all the time, which is what people pleasers do.
Yeah. And I think that's why we wanted to do this episode, isn't it? Because I think it's identifying like the signs. So if you see some of these signs in yourself, I think it's really helpful for other people to acknowledge that this is something that is common and a lot of people kind of suffer from.
Yeah.
And it's okay to do the things that we're going to talk about in terms of the tips to protect yourself from it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you a bad person. It's actually going to make you a better person, because you're going to, when you are actually helping people, you're going to be in a better place.
Yeah.
And it's going to be coming from a place where you're sort of in a better mental state as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's that whole, you know, it's really cheesy, but it's like fill your own cup thing, isn't it? You have to protect your own energy, particularly if you're the sort of person that absorbs all the energy of everybody around you.
Yeah.
So some key signs of people pleasing. Come on, Lucy, you can reel some of these off as a confessed people pleaser.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about a lot is apologizing automatically. So your immediate response being, oh, sorry. And we've talked about that in episodes before, haven't we? Where your immediate, your go-to is to apologize first and then afterwards think, Why was I apologizing for apologizing? Agreeing with whoever's in front of you, you know, going along with the consensus in the room, and see, you know, and sometimes you might secretly feel that. And I think I've definitely done this in the past, where you secretly have a feeling and you're sort of agreeing and you're thinking, I don't agree with this, but I can't think how to articulate what I actually think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we in a previous episode, we talked about, as you said before, that getting that assertiveness to be able to sort of articulate what you're really thinking.
Yeah. And know that it's not personal. I think that's part of the problem when you're a people pleaser, because it's about wanting people to like you. You think if you've got a different opinion to somebody else, that means that they're not going to like you. But if you do it in adult language and not aggressively, then it's okay to have different opinion to other people.
Yeah. And that's another really good point, because it's about how you view yourself depends on how others see you.
Mm-hmm.
So you set your self-worth being dependent on how you perceive other people see you, which might be actually completely wrong anyway.
Because we can't get into other people's heads. And I, you know, I deal with so many clients with that kind of, when I say, you know, what gives you more confidence? What makes you feel better about yourself? And it's always external validation. And it, you know, we'll come on to talk about it, but it's finding ways to get that that self-worth from within and not always have to feel like you have to be nice to everybody and everybody praise you. And then that makes you good enough, because you are good enough without that praise.
Yeah. And I'm feeling exhausted doing even talking about all of these things, because the energy that's required to do all of these things.
Yeah, it's tiring, isn't it?
Very tiring.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You're putting everybody else's needs ahead of your own. You're not, you know, you very rarely think about yourself when you're a people pleaser. It's like the bottom of the list. And I see that particularly like with working parents, where, you know, work gets all of you, then your kids get all of you. And then this is me and you, Lucy, I'm thinking like texting at 9 o'clock last night going, have we finished the episode? Have you finished the episode for tomorrow? Because we're bottom of the list. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, part of that, that just is working parent life.
Yeah.
But there's probably things in our day, you know, if I think about my day yesterday, there were some calls that I took that I probably didn't need to take, you know, that were nice to haves, and I didn't want to say no to people. And if I'd done that, I might have got more time back and I wouldn't have had to be planning podcasts at 9 o'clock at night. So, you know.
But I also think part of this is about acknowledging where you're failing. I'm trying to think of a better word then, but you know, it's acknowledging, it's being able. And you know, I was really looking forward to doing this episode, because I think one of the things that works really well with us is that by talking about these things, it is like a check-in, and it's like, oh yeah, I do need to remember to, you know.
Yeah, so everybody listening, you think we do it for you, but actually we're doing it for ourselves. No, we are. We're doing it for you as well. I think hopefully it helps everybody listening to us like effectively coach each other, isn't it?
Exactly. Because it is something that you do need reminding about. I certainly need reminding about this.
Yeah.
Because I think when I was prepping for this episode, I think I texted you just now and I was like, oh God, this is very close to home.
Definitely. So should we talk about what makes people become people pleasers?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's lots of research into this sort of thing around the psychology of it and everything. And a lot of it can, just like everything, it comes back to childhood. we blame our parents. We don't blame our parents. It's just that they're our formative years. And there's things that we learn when we're very young.
And I think it's society as well. So it's not just necessarily how you're brought up in your family. It's also a societal thing, because I do think, and please feel free to correct us if you think we're wrong, but I think more women suffer from this than men.
Absolutely. and I think that's because little girls are totally socialized to be good and to be quiet and to do all the good, you know, nice things.
Yeah.
And that can lead to lots of.
And girls are trained to have that desire for external validation.
Yeah.
To look pretty. Speak nicely, do you know?
Yeah.
And I would like to think, I mean, we've both got daughters, and I do think that girls are born wanting that, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, because you've got a boy and a girl, haven't you? And you've said, you know, there's actually different things in their DNA, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think it does even come back to that primal need for that external validation. And what, you know, the reality is we're pack animals, you know, we're born and we can't do anything, like we can't feed ourselves and everything. So we have to be liked by our caregivers to be able to get fed and survive. So it's actually properly an evolutionary thing that has happened for us, that we've become people pleasers. But it's where it gets to the excess that's the problem. And I think what you do see with little girls that grow up to be teenage girls and everything is that and I think I'm a bit scared for our daughters, really, because I think, you know, I think it was bad in our day, but with social media and everything now, that you know, those formative years in the teenage years where you are, your self-esteem's low anyway. You've got no idea what's going on in your body. And then chuck like the comparison of social media yeah. on top.
With it filters. All leads to,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
total unreality.
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah, that's actually, it's very worrying, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but I think that, so all of that can lead to poor self-esteem and those insecurities, feeling that people, you know, around them won't like them. So you go up yeah. over and above trying to get people to yeah. like you.
Worrying about what other people are going to think. So
yeah.
Yeah. Going above and beyond.
Yeah. And we've done an episode in the back past, haven't we, about letting go of perfect and perfectionism.
Yeah.
Is a big part of people pleasing. So where we have always got that, you're doing so well, you know, we get rewarded as we're growing yeah. up. We learn that perfect, you know, we should always be striving for more and we should always be perfect.
Yeah. And it's, and I think this is a really good one, because it's that bit, it's almost like being the perfect people pleaser. So once you start saying yes, it's like, how do you make the differentiation between things that you should say yes to and things that you shouldn't say yes to? Because how do you stop the perfection?
Well, it's never that easy to just go from being a complete perfectionist to just going, oh, well, it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's exactly. it's the little, it's that awareness, isn't it? Awareness yeah. is the first step. And then it's letting go of little things.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So what we've kind of talked a little bit about the effects that people pleasing can have on yourself, but I guess something that we haven't really talked about is that, because we're sort of given this persona of like, we're always really happy and smiley and whatever when we're people pleasers, and it's not. You can get really angry and like snappy at people because it
builds people, resentment.
Yeah. Because that resentment builds up inside, because that person in front of you has got no idea that you've said yes to 500 other things today and you haven't really got time, and you feel like everybody's taking advantage of you. And then you're just like, want to kill somebody, usually your yeah. partner or your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's a valid point, because you're on the outside, you are that sort of happy, brilliant person. And then behind closed doors, the people closest to you are the ones that are probably suffering.
Yeah.
And that's when you really want to think about, like, what is this doing to me yeah. as a person?
Yeah. And if I look back 10 years ago or whatever it was when I suffered my burnout, you know, I was married to somebody that I'm no longer married to. And there was definitely a bit of that going on. You know, I was giving, it was work that I was giving to. He didn't feel like I was giving enough to him. I would beg to differ. But, and also my friends, you remember I said like I was the go-to agony aunt for everybody yeah. and doing yeah. everybody's CVs and interview yeah, prep yeah. and, you know, I was just busy all the time because I was putting everybody else's needs ahead of my own. But that did build to that anger and resentment. So we used yeah. to argue all the time, and we'd argue about the fact that I was giving more time to other people. And I used to think, well, you're so blooming selfish, but actually, you know, there was an element of, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Luckily, he'll never listen to this. That was true, you know, and it's because I was yeah. I was overgiving, basically.
Yeah, and that's a conversation that me and Sam have fairly regularly.
Yeah. I hope you don't have all the arguments and horribleness that we had.
No, because that's the thing, I am sort of aware of it.
Yeah.
And that does lead to just a lack of looking after yourself, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And we definitely both experienced this, repeated illnesses,
yeah.
feeling tired all the time, mentally drained, because you put so much pressure on yourself and you basically end up neglecting your own needs.
Yeah.
I think that is the big message from this episode. It's about recognizing when you are neglecting your own needs.
Yeah.
Because you think that by helping everybody else, that's going to help you in the end.
Yeah, because it's like that validation thing, but the actual yeah. reality is it's just going to make yeah. you poorly.
I also think it's really important to say that some people will take advantage of people pleasers.
Absolutely.
I think most people don't take advantage, but just be careful that there aren't sort of toxic people around you that are feeding off your people pleasing.
I'm like, and going back to the ex-husband. but yeah, and there are people out there that will completely take advantage. So yeah, I know I'm just repeating what you're saying. It's because I'm going through my head and I'm like, just don't say anything about him, Amy. But I think you've all got the message. But actually, that ties into another thing that we were going to talk about, which is you hide your own needs and you lack. I, in that situation, God, it's like marriage counselling, I completely lost who I was because I was pleasing somebody else and being somebody else. So that's a very specific example, but that is what happens if you become a people pleaser. You kind of just forget what matters to you and what you care about. And even like, what you used to enjoy doing. Like I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my social life, for instance, because I'd just been always doing something that somebody else wanted to do. So it's, and that happens in not just in unhappy marriages. It happens if you're generally a people pleaser.
Yeah. And I think I also wonder whether this is more of a female issue, because when you have children, you obviously have to give a lot of yourself, more than you've ever had to give to another person when you have these little children to look after. Mm-hmm. So I think we get used to it. Yeah. And then you kind of find yourself giving more and more of yourself. And obviously giving yourself to your children is a completely different thing. But it's then realizing that your children are getting old enough now and you do need to sort of find ways of remembering who you are and surrounding yourself with people that share your real interests. And you know, finding that little piece of you again.
Yeah. And so that life isn't always about giving to work or your kids or whoever that you might be caring for, and you have a little bit of something for yourself.
Yeah.
So should we talk about how to stop people pleasing?
Yes. Come on, Amy, tell me.
Some of the stuff that we've talked about before. So like, I know this is totally you. When somebody just asks you something, you're like, yeah, definitely. And then you're like, comes to text me straight afterwards and like, I can't believe it again. I've just said yes to something I want to say no to. So like, know that you're that sort of person. Yeah. So stop that being your default and just be always say, whether you already know it's a full on yes, still say, can I get back to you?
Yeah, because there might be something that you've forgotten. And I've got to say that I'm very proud of myself. Mm. At the weekend, I was at the kids' school fun day thing. And it was like, you know, set up by the PTA and everything. And we had like message after message after message saying, we need volunteers. This can't go ahead without volunteers. We need someone to do the tea. We need someone to do this. And I was literally going, desperate to text back to say, yeah. I was like, no. Don't do it. I even had one of my mum friends going, Lucy, do you think we ought to do the tea? I was like, no, we've both got little ones. How are we going to do that? Yeah. She's got like a 2-year-old. I've got my 3-year-old. I was like, how are we going to do the tea? And, you know, I was like, no. But in the past, I would have done it. And I'd have just managed having like the 3-year-old on my hip, watching the 6-year-old worrying where she was. I would have just
probably ended up in A&E because one of them got scolded by the tea.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, I've got no time for anything because I'm in A&E.
So that felt good. Then, this goes even further, I then, at the Sunday, I got accosted by the chair of the PTA. Oh, hi, how's it going? I'm the chair. And I was like, as soon as she got to me, I just thought, oh no, I know why she's here. So, I'm leaving next year. We need people. So what do you think? What do you think? And I was just like, no, sorry. I haven't got the time. And, you know, what a great job. And she was pushing. And I was like, I really can't, you know, I have a lot on with work. She's like, I've got a full-time job. And she was really pushing
me. Really
pushing. I stuck my ground.
She was desperate to get rid of it. That's why.
Yeah. I stuck my ground because I know I can't take that on. As much as, you know, part of me would like to, I know I couldn't take that on.
I love that because I remember it was probably about 18 months ago coaching someone and a whole coaching session being about how to say no to the PTA. And it is exactly what you're saying. It's like,
it's that influence though. It's that being that person that, oh yes, this is me. I love getting involved in it because I did want to just pretend that I was that person.
Right.
So that's a live example.
Live example is say, I'll get back to you. If you say no, but if you can't bring yourself to say no, just give yourself that time. And also I like the one about delaying. So take a breath before you say yes or no. I think we've talked about it before. When you get into that fight or flight mode and somebody asks you something and you think, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you can't think rationally. So just take a breath, pause, and it's enough to block out that feeling of, oh Christ, I don't know what to say.
And don't
start thinking rationally.
Yeah. And don't feel like it has to be like a massive gap. It's literally, there's research that a 50 to 100 milliseconds is all that your brain needs to focus on something. It's like literally a split second.
Yeah.
And it just gives, it's like literally taking a breath. So nobody will even notice, but no. It just gives you that. And that's really important for me to hear, because I talk really quickly. I do everything really quickly. Mm. And just knowing that just that extra breath gives you that power to be able to sort of either say no or say, actually, I think I can come back to you on that?
Yeah. Or just get your rational brain into gear so that it can make those factual points and be factual about it. No, I can't do this because I have got that thing on Thursday or whatever, rather than just being like in the emotional part of your brain that's like, I don't want to upset this person.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing is, like, I think it's really important to just start practicing saying no in tiny little on the tiny little things, because it can feel like we definitely need to do a whole episode. We've said this before on saying no, don't we? In the different ways of saying no, just starting it on tiny, tiny little things can help you just get used to the world not ending if you say no to something.
Yeah. The other one I want to talk about is setting your own goals and living by, and that helps you also by doing your goal setting. We've talked about this before, by looking at your values and going through that process. That actually does help you regain who you are and what you want to do as well. Mm-hmm. It's like a bit of a, I think it's really good to do that like every year. We had an episode on that at the beginning of the year, didn't we?
Yeah.
And like sort of resetting, because then when you give yourself that like little time delay, it allows your brain to think, well, is this something that fits into my goals that I want to achieve in my life? Because, you know, being part of the PTA isn't for me.
No.
So, but sometimes I feel like it should be. So knowing that it's really not is really useful for me.
Yeah.
Because I get hounded by these people.
Yeah. And it's taking the time and space, isn't it? And that's the thing, because we're too busy people pleasing and being busy all the time. It's the time to self-reflect and just go, actually, is this aligned with what I want in my life? Because you only get one life and you don't want to spend that in PTA meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody listening that is a member of the PTA and loves it, it's fine, but that's your thing. And that's the point, isn't it? We're all different.
Yeah.
And I think the last one has to be said by me, because I've been talking about my ex. But a big part of getting over the people-pleasing thing is also recognising those toxic people in your life, the people that are taking advantage of you, and remembering that, and this isn't just about romantic relationships, this is friendships, this is colleagues that annoy you. You recognizing that who those people are, the people that the energy hoovers that we've talked about before that drain the life out of you, and do everything you can to spend less time with them and just get them out of your life. I think that's a massive one.
Yeah. And and you know, healthy relationships about giving and taking, not just you.
Yeah. It shouldn't just be a one-way street.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hope you have found that useful today.
Yeah, please let us know what you think.
I was going to say, I think this is going to be one of those ones where we see the downloads shoot up, because I know so many people listening are people pleasers. So come and have a chat with us on LinkedIn or in the Facebook group and let us know.
Definitely, because it's a really useful thing to talk about. I really enjoyed preparing for this episode and talking about it, because it's a nice reminder.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing the prep, Lucy.
It's normally you doing it.
Okay.
Thanks very much, everybody.
See you next time.
See you next week. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Take care and catch us next week.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us personally, Lucy is available for consultancy advice and is able to offer a free discovery call. Find her on Instagram at OutToLaunchMPD or over on LinkedIn.
And if you want to reach out to Amy for any coaching or facilitation support, then you can find her at Amy Wilkinson Coaching on Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn. Thanks again. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Amy.
See you next time.